today, we want to ask you, Lord,
yes,
that Rich's teaching this morning is well received,
yes,
and that
Lord,
the Holy Spirit is present, and we want to thank you for all of our blessings, everything that we have, and we need to remember to keep in mind everything that we have and not to just worry about what we don't have.
Yes, Lord.
And let's pray that you are present and speak your word today through the speaker. Amen.
Amen.
Through the speakers.
Amen.
Y'all are speakers.
Yeah.
Y'all have the word in you. Praise the Lord. All right.
Lord.
So I don't know what happened last week, so I'm just going to take off.
He just shared. He shared you know, some of the covenant David and some of that, but he left for you. But he gave you some things that God had put on his heart.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, I didn't get a chance to listen to it, so I'll just go with what I got, what
mm-hmm.
the Lord gave me here.
That's good. No, because he didn't go into what you would do, because he said he knew you had things.
So okay.
That's what he did, yeah.
Well, you know, in talking about the five covenants that we've been talking about, we haven't gotten into the fifth one yet, but we will be going into the fifth one. It's interesting that there's five covenants, and
mm-hmm.
the number five means what the fifth covenant is about.
Grace.
And that, I mean, isn't that amazing?
Yes.
That how perfect God is, that, you know, there's five main covenants and the new covenant. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I don't even call it the new covenant. I call it Jesus.
Yes.
Because he is the new
yes.
covenant, and there's no reason to call it a new covenant. You call it Jesus, because that's what it was all leading up to. And that's the covenant of grace. And
all being fulfilled in.
And it's all being fulfilled there.
Yes.
You know, you look at it like, you know, I'll just kind of give you an idea. You know, when you have a hose, you can make the spray go from pretty broad but mm-hmm. and not much power to it to a real concentrated flow
yeah.
with a lot of power to it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I see in these five covenants. Now, coming to the new covenant that we're going to talk about, it's defined.
Mm-hmm.
It's defined. It's clear. It's Jesus. And it, the first covenant with Noah was, I'm going to save the world. I'm going to not destroy the world again, you know. So that's a real, that would be the wide spray. And then it gets more defined, you know, with, you know, humanity was a guaranteed of, with Noah. So
mm-hmm.
God guaranteed and made a covenant with Noah that he would not destroy mankind
mm-hmm.
with water. A nation assured with Abraham. So God ensured a nation through Abraham. A nation defined in Moses. The nation refined by the Davidic kings. The good of Israel lies in the king subject relationship. The subjects must follow the king, but the king must also lead in a manner fitting to the Lord. This kingship is the future and hope of Israel's establishment in the accordance of God's promises. Well, you go back to Psalm 89. Psalm 89, hi, Kathy.
Good morning.
Verse 34, and it says, my covenant I will not break.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So you sit there and you say, well, he promised David all the way through, but, you know, what the kings had to do is follow the Lord, and they didn't do it at different times.
What did you say, number one? You said,
humanity was guaranteed in the Noahic with Noah. Nation was assured with Abraham. Nation was defined in Moses, and the nation was refined in David. So you say, well, God, you know, God says right here in Psalms 89 that you know, that he will not break his covenant, Mike. You know, and in Matthew 1, what does it say? You know, they went into bondage, or they went into slavery in Babylon. All kinds of things happened where, you know, the kingship, it split from Israel to Judah. Absalom basically came after his dad. All hell broke loose. And you say, well, then man didn't hold up his part, so that covenant got broken. Well, no, because of Jesus. In Matthew 1, and Jesus is introduced in Matthew 1 as an heir of King David. So he restores it with Jesus. Jesus is often referred to in Anxious Hope as the Son of David. So what all that was lost was brought back with Jesus. You know, and you can even go through all this where man, you know, tried to kill Jesus, you know, with all the Jewish male babies and why they had to flee to Bethlehem and all that, and go through all that. So there's just it all sets it up for the new covenant. And I was saying earlier, guys, that it's the Jesus covenant. It's Jesus. It's all these four covenants we're planning for that fifth and ultimate covenant, which five is the number of grace, and that's what Jesus brought. So the covenant of grace, the new covenant, you know, is all about Jesus. I mean, all of it was leading up to Jesus, but it was all Jesus from the very beginning to the very end. Isaiah prophesied that by the stripes of the suffering servant, we would be healed. I mean, all these prophetic words that came forth through Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel all brought forth Jesus Christ here upon the earth. And then in Isaiah 9:7 says, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David. So back to what he said in Psalms 89:32 or 34 is, he will not break his covenant. So, I mean, God is not a liar, let me tell you. He did not break his covenant. It says, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. God says it. You can believe it. It's going to happen. End of story.
Settled.
Yes. Amen, which means so be it. Okay, so now we're into the new covenant, and the new covenant says Jesus is the key, the focus of the new covenant. I mean, without Jesus, there is no new covenant. Without Jesus, really, there is no other covenants. Because of him, we are no longer servants and slaves, but sons. Life lived out of relationship instead of life lived out of rules. Praise the Lord for that. I like that. Life lived out of relationship instead of rules. We couldn't have been born in a better time, could we? I mean, seriously, when you think of everything, you go, wow, we are living in an awesome time right now. Jesus was the fulfillment of the promise God made all the way to the beginning with Abraham. We are righteous not based on what we have done, but righteous based on the gift. This is all part of the new covenant. We are no longer under the law, but under his grace, which is what we've been saying since we started. All we have to do, the only thing that's required of us to do our part in this new covenant, and we talked about a covenant being two parties coming together and agreeing, But all we have to do is have faith and believe. Jesus was all God and all man. He not only was able to represent both parties in this covenant, he was able to be both parties. As God, he forgave our sins. As man, he responded perfectly. Even when he said, "Father, if this cup could pass, let it pass." He said, "Nevertheless, your will, not mine, be done." So he responded perfectly to everything he was supposed to do here on earth as a man. As God, he forgave our sins. As man, he responded perfectly. It's only about the strong desire God has to have relationship with us and bring about the reconciliation. You know, we talked about in the Mosaic Covenant, we talked about how man got so off track that he even said, "Moses, you know, we're afraid of him. We're afraid of God. You go be the mediator. You go talk to him and you tell us what we should do." They didn't want relationship with the Lord. They were scared to death of him. And isn't it great that, we don't have to do anything but allow his love to come in and shed that love abroad to everybody we come in contact with. The line of the great kings has failed Israel. They are without a leader. They have forsaken the law of God. Oh, you bring in poison to us, huh? Thank you.
Mike was ready to switch churches.
Huh? Oh, he was upset, huh? Okay.
Okay.
No problem. So with all that going on, they are without a leader. They have forsaken the law of God, and now God is about to bring his just and due punishment to those who fail to keep the law. All of the circumstantial punishment promised to lawbreakers will come as Israel is taken out of their own land and placed under Babylonian captivity. Israel is unable to follow the law, and the throne of Israel was unable to find a throne capable of leading a holy people in a perfect manner. That's why Jesus was needed. So in this new covenant, it says in Jeremiah, was prophesied hundreds of years before it actually took place, "I will put my law within them, I will write on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." That's Jeremiah 31, 33, 34 says, "I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." This is the part that a lot of Christians have a problem with. You know, they're all high and mighty, some of them, saying, "Well, I'm not as bad as that person. My sins aren't half as bad as that person's sin." So you mean that person has the same opportunity as I do to not have to live with their sins? I mean, do you see where I'm coming from here? You know, you take a mass murderer and you say, "How could God accept them, you know, the way they accept me?"
God doesn't. Yeah. There's a big sin, a little sin is sin.
That, there you
there's
go.
No,
yeah,
big
but there's
sin,
still,
little sin.
You know,
this is a problem Julie has.
Yeah,
just listen, because I think the
sin,
voice
sin
of many waters will help. I mean, it just says it right here. It says, "I will remember their sin no more."
Mm-hmm.
You can rewrite the Bible if you want, but that's the Bible. That is the truth. That is exactly God's heart. That's how much he loves mankind. And you say, "Well, what about these bad, evil people?" Well, put yourself in that category.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because without the grace of God and without the what Jesus did on the cross,
even though we're right with them,
we're right there with them.
Oh, God.
what you're saying, it goes back to what I was raised with. You had a venial sin, which was not such a bad thing.
Yeah. See, that's what she's dealing with.
That's not what God
says. It's not so
that's
much
a
Catholic teaching.
Done.
It's
right.
I mean, you know. So let's just use someone we all know: Charles Manson, Jeffrey Dahmer. Okay.
But
so,
it doesn't matter.
I know, but I'm just trying to. This is, you know, if people are honest, a lot of people have an issue with this. Okay, so. They can wipe out all these people. Oh, I'm born again. I give my life to the Lord. Okay, and I'm shooting straight up in heaven because my sins are already forgiven. And then you get an average person like most of us in here that haven't like murdered anybody or done mass killings.
But you're thinking with the natural mind, and
yeah.
that's your
yeah.
problem. If you are letting your mind be renewed by Christ and you have the mind of Christ, you would not think that way.
If you go back in the biblical times, what kind of killing person or persons did that might have been worse than Charles Mason.
That's right. Well, look at Herod.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll tell you what, when you're killing every firstborn son, you're killing the babies, you think...
So did the Pharaoh.
I mean, you know, abortion's bad, but these babies were born and...
Slaughtered.
Yeah. You know.
Just think, like when these people... like sacrifices their sons and daughters to their false gods. I mean,
yeah, Moloch, they were sacrificing their kids to Moloch, the god of Moloch, to get favor with Moloch. Go ahead, Kathy.
You know, I think that we are a three-part being, body, soul, and spirit.
Yeah.
And if our soul is so demented and so given over to sin, there is always, we don't step over. I believe, I mean, even Brother Eddie used to say, you're going to step over and you're still going to have some work to do. You know? Now, God is just, but He can deal with the soul, but the spirit of these people still goes to God. The soul still has a lot of work to do, and there will be work for all of us, I believe, when we get on the other side and see the scope of what was available to us and how we were blinded here. And I think there will be some repentance and some stuff like that when we step over. That's the way I see it. And I see that, I think that we can trust God to deal with all
of
those
people.
It's
not our job anyway to deal with any of those people.
Right.
You know, it's our job to do what He tells us to do. That's the only responsibility. That's the covenant, the new covenant that we have with the Lord, is to have faith that what He says is true, and believe it, and become it. You know, when we become this, then we're not going to think in the natural any longer. We're not going to think with the carnal
right.
mind. We're not going to think fleshly. I'm not saying that we won't have a fleshly thought, but we won't entertain it. We will get rid of it and move back in and say, well, that's a fleshly thought. Where'd that come from? I'm not going to entertain that thought. You know, that thought's gone. You're out of here. See ya.
But God said the heart is deceitfully wicked, who can know it? So that's all of us.
Every
and we
of
don't
us.
Want to think that we could be capable of that. But God said, like He spoke to me, what you give yourself to, you become.
Mm-hmm.
So how what we give ourselves to, then open themselves to these things. That's why they're capable of doing all the murders and that. But God still sees us all as saints. He does not discriminate regardless of what we've done.
Yep.
He sees us all in need of Him.
Yeah, we
There's
all
no sin
fell short
sin.
Of the
sin
glory
sin.
Of God. You know, we all, you know, until Jesus came into our lives, our righteousness was filthy rags.
Right.
It was garbage. It was self-righteousness. It was not His righteousness. His righteousness is a gift. And all we have to do is accept that gift.
And He sees us in Him or out of Him.
Mm-hmm.
doing our thing, are committed to him. He does, so either we're living for him, or like all the other things talking about, like Jeffrey Dahmer and all of them, that God still loves them.
Yeah.
And yeah.
And the best example
when they come to him, which I heard that, what was the other one, the other one, you're not Charles Manson, but the,
Jeffrey Dahmer.
There's another one too, that.
Bundy.
On his Focus mother. On the Family, he was ministered
James
to
Dobson did when he talked to him right
him.
Before he was put to
sure
death.
Sure did.
James Dobson,
went and
Focus on the Family.
Ministered to him.
Wow. So really, and he recorded it. It's
yes,
a really interesting interview. Really is.
If there was a person, you know, these types of people, they say you never can pick them out of the crowd. You know, you just wouldn't know. And I believe that's the same with any really deep-seated sin. If there was somebody that you really, 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 really loved already, say you found out that I was, that I had murdered 10 people, and get ready to murder my life. But you already loved me. Could you still love
it's them? Like your kids.
Yeah, they're unconditional.
You know, would you turn your kid in if he committed murder? Yeah, you would.
But you'd still love
But him. Would you say, I don't love you anymore? No. No. Because you gave birth to that kid, especially if you're a mom or your dad, even if you didn't give birth, or you're a step-parent or whatever. You raised that kid, and you love that kid.
And you don't condone what they've done or are doing.
You may tell them you're wrong and you did something really
bad.
You're
going
to be punished for it, but it doesn't affect your love. excuse me.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, so Jeremiah predicted this new covenant way, 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 way before Jesus walked the earth. And just for nieces who just came in,
what verse?
Jeremiah 31, 33, and 34 says that I will forgive their iniquity. That's how we got off on this. I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Wow. That is a powerful statement. And how much love is that? How much grace is that? I mean, wow. The Lord also promises to rebuild a land which will not be uprooted or overthrown anymore forever. You know that the kingdom of God is forever. There will never be a time that the kingdom of God will be no more. I will make them, this is in Jeremiah 32, I will make them an everlasting covenant that I will not turn away from doing good to them.
Verse 32,
I didn't write down the verse, sorry.
Yeah, I will make them a thing.
Jeremiah 32, I will make with them an everlasting covenant that I will not turn away from doing good to them. So, is he going to distinguish between who he's going to do this for? No. He says, I will do this for all. And then God promises in Ezekiel 36, and I need to write this down, that he will take away their heart of stone and give them a new heart of flesh so that they may keep his commandments.
Was it 37, maybe down through
maybe,
there?
Maybe, I don't
in
know.
In there, because they will be my people and I would be their God and I would give them one heart.
Yeah.
They go along with them. That starts at 37.
So, there's a lot of love there. A lot of love that's unconditional. No conditions. The only condition you put on it is you got to believe it's true. You know, you got to believe that what he said is true. And once you believe it, then you become it. Mm-hmm. And once we become it, then we operate in it. And we operate in all this love. And we quit judging people. We forgive people, to do all those things that Jesus talked about for the 3.5 years that he was on this earth.
That's what I'm going through right now.
What's that?
Is learning not to judge people. And that my little pea brain has to accept everyone. Mm-hmm. And I've got a neighbor across the street. She's like my new BFF all of a sudden. And she has 2 gay children. And I have no filter. And thank goodness she loves me enough to say, I know you don't mean harm by that because of my lack of ignorance, you know, kind of thing. And I said, well, explain it to me. I said, you know, explain to me what you have to deal with. And she says, you know, as parents, we don't really know, because I'm not a parent. I don't have a clue, you know. So when you're parents and you're bringing your kids up and you think everything's going to be great and they're going to whatever, you know, the sky's the limit for their dreams. And then all of a sudden they come home and they say, Mom and Dad, I'm gay, or I'm whatever, or mannerisms change. And, you know, it's not that they don't, like you said, they don't love them. They're just thinking, what the heck happened? And they start questioning their parenting and thinking, what did I do wrong, you know? And, but God still loves all of us, and that, you know, and I've got to learn to accept it. And here I am, I meet them, and very smart kids, and I'm thinking, boy, I'm such an idiot that I'm thinking, oh, they're going to hell, and it says it in here, and, you know, and it just helps you to open up with love and accept
these
people, and just give them an example, and it's like, by faith, and apply your Christian values, and say, great, you know what? Hey, and then this whole weekend has literally been, you got your Bible in your car. Let's open up the Bible. I mean, I busted my butt yesterday cleaning, and here this gentleman is a Jew. And he's asking questions. I'm like, well, let's get into the Bible. Hey, let me go get it, you know? And I'm like, oh my goodness. Dennis came home, open up the Bible. I'm like, thank you, Lord. You know, give me the words that I need. In your word, mm-hmm. for scripture, just not to get off the subject, but, you know, just to show unconditional love of the difference mm-hmm. between people. You don't have to, what is it? You don't have to, just don't judge.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. and just don't judge.
That's a good rule of thumb.
What have you done with Lisa?
Wow.
She's growing. She's growing. That's good.
And, you know, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, Lord, help me open the Bible more, because I'm like, Lord, say a little prayer. I'm like, Lord, just let you speak.
I mean, how are those kids, if they don't know the love of Jesus, how are they going to learn to know the love of Jesus if you're judging them?
Right.
They're not going to learn it through they're going to like say, whoa, I don't want anything to do with that. Get that far away from me, because all that is evil.
Right.
So the only way they're going to know is you love them. You love all over them.
Yes.
And you don't judge them. That's God's job.
Right.
To do whatever he's going to do with them. He has a plan and purpose for their life, just like he has one for yours.
And they're all smart kids. The husband's an engineer. She's a life coach. I'm like bartering. I'm like, what do you want done? Because I'm a cleaner. I'm the little Mexican that loves to clean. Now, I'll sort everything out for you, because her house is a mess, apparently. I don't know. I've never even been in there. But I'm like, great, let's barter, you know? You help me, and I'll help you. And, you know, and it's just been a great, really nice, sweet relationship that I've learned.
See, God ordained that.
You know, see, we create a hunger in people. When they look out and see this love and see all this, they hunger after that. It draws them. What they see in you.
Hopefully.
It does, or what they see in you. No matter what you're doing, love can still be emanating from,
It's just been really a great weekend, even though it's been very challenging. But I figure the Lord gives you these challenges to get closer to him.
To develop.
Amen.
Praise God. Good words.
Yeah.
Jesus establishes himself as the guarantor of the new covenant. The Mosaic law required sacrifices, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus offered himself as a sacrifice for the new covenant once and for all. Jesus' blood is the means by which we are given the heart transplant. Okay? The heart transplant described by Ezekiel. Jesus became the mediator of that new covenant. He has the power to forgive sins. And it was his blood that was poured out for those for the forgiveness of those sins. And then, like Paul said, it's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. This is the good news of the covenant, that he gives us a new life. We don't have to live that inferior life. We can live that abundant, wonderful life and be above all the stuff. Live a life that's above all the stuff, you know, that we just have gotten into from time to time and realize that that's not where we want to be. So, okay, so let's go over to, hey Lonnie.
Yeah, you know,
okay, let's go back to Psalms 89. Any questions on, I mean, we could spend days and days and days talking about the new covenant, but any discussion on that you want to talk about? I think it's pretty clear that from the beginning of time, it was all leading up to this. I don't think there was any doubt at all. So let's go back to 89, and you know, there's all this talk. We read a whole lot about, that my covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips. Once I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David. His seed shall endure forever. So, you know, this, I will not lie to David. You know, when you read that, and then you read on in Psalms 89, and you hear this rant that Ethan's going on, he doesn't believe it for a minute. You know, he's no different than any other human being. You know, he's sitting there saying, I'm having a hard time believing this, you know, because when you go on down, it says, I will not lie to David, his seed shall endure forever, and his thrones as the sun before me, it shall be established forever like the moon, even like the faithful witness in the sky. Now, here goes Ethan. Ethan says, okay, well, what about this, you know? He says, but you have cast off and abhorred. You have been furious with your anointed. You have renounced the covenant of your servant. You have profaned his crown by casting it to... You hear the flavor here? You catching this? You know, God just... And you know, it's like, it's sad to say that we've done the same thing. We can't sit there and criticize Ethan too much, because I think we've done the same thing. Anytime we allow doubt or unbelief into our lives, we've done the same thing Ethan's done. You know, we know that God will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. Well, if you're worrying about the rent check next month, then you're right there with Ethan. You're saying, oh, wow, what about this? What about my rent? You know, it's got to get paid. So he goes on this rant. Let me get to where I was here on that. Okay. Catch up here. Here we go.
we have, Mitch?
Well, we're kind of ripping through a bunch of this.
Yeah.
So right now, what we're talking about is God just got done saying that he will not, nevertheless, my loving kindness I will not utterly take from him, nor allow my faithfulness to fail. I mean, God's just saying, man, this is all good. My covenant I will not break, nor after the word that has gone out of my lips, once I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne is as the sun before me. It shall be established forever like the moon, even like the faithful witness in the sky. And then, boom, Ethan jumps in and says, but you have cast, you know, he starts going in, you have been furious with your anointed. You have profaned his crown by casting it to them. Because there was a promise, a covenant with David, that David's throne would go on forever. Well, it was fulfilled by Jesus, you know. Yeah, there was times when they were even exiled to Babylonia. So, you know, Ethan, it's just that doubt and unbelief that Ethan just heard all this wonderful stuff, and then now he's like going, yeah, but what about this, you know? What about me? What about my people, you know, and all that stuff. So,
sounds like us.
Well, that's what I just said. That's what I just said. You know, you sit there and you're on Sunday, you're going, God will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. And then you get there on Monday and you go, man, I just blew my whole paycheck over the weekend, and here it is Monday and I don't have any money to pay the gas electric bill. And you're like going, God, you said you're going to supply my need. What happened? You know, we have a responsibility in a covenant.
You said you haven't.
Yeah, in a covenantal relationship, we have a responsibility. Yeah. Okay, I'm trying to get to where, let's see. Okay. All right, so, so we were right there in that rant that Ethan is having here. And I just wanted to kind of go into this just a little bit, and I need Brother Oscar's help with this, but because I know you've taught on this before. But in Matthew 1:17, you know, they're talking about David. I will not lie to David. But all this stuff starts to happen. Absalom comes after David's throne, you know. They're exiled to Babylonia. Israel and Judah apart. You know, there's all this stuff going on. And in the natural, you're saying, well, God lied. He didn't honor that covenant. Look what's happened. But I wanted to kind of go into this. So in Matthew 1:17 says, so there were 14 generations in all from Abraham to David. And there were 14 generations from David until the people were taken in exile or deported to Babylon. And there were 14 generations from the time when the people were taken of the exile, deportation to Babylon, until Christ the Messiah was born. So when we add 14 plus 14 plus 14, the total 3:14 is 42 from Abraham to Christ. Is that correct? Okay.
But if you count them, there's only 41 here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're the 42nd.
Yeah. We're the 42nd.
Right. Yeah, he says that he was cut off. There's a scripture that says he was cut off without seed.
Mm-hmm.
Yet there shall be a generation, there shall be a seed accounted unto him as a generation. And the seed of Christ that's in each one of us, we're that generation, we're that 42nd generation. And you know, when it counted it all the way up to Christ,
It was 41.
That was 41.
Mm-hmm.
But he was cut off without children, you know. But we were his
children. His children, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we were born again of that incorruptible seed. So we became that 42nd generation. Can I say one other thing about
David? Yeah, go ahead.
When he talks about the covenant with David, David's name means love. If you basically break it down and look at it, the meaning of it means love. He's never going to break his covenant with love. Love is always going to sit on the throne, you know. And, you know, I'd like to read this to you again from last week. If I can find it here. Let's see. I guess it's right here. I read a scripture out of Zechariah last week, and I just loved this. And in Zechariah 6:13-15, it says, "Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory and sit and rule upon his throne. And he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both." And I believe that's talking about, literally, in the spirit, that's talking about Jesus and his Christ. You know, between them both. "And the crowns shall be to Elam, Tobijah, to Jedidiah, to Zephaniah, for a memorial in the temple of the Lord. And he that is afar off shall come and build the temple of the Lord. And you shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. And this shall come to pass if you will diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God." And verse 14 there, when it gives the names of those people, this is the meaning of their names. "A crown bound firmly, and the goodness of God," and it says, "God has known grace," and the root word of that is graciousness, kindness, and favor, "and God has secreted it."
Ooh.
And we know that the mystery that's been hidden from past ages and past generations is Christ in you. He made it a secret. But it was all about grace. He has known that grace was what it was. See, and I love that. If you go across their names, it's just telling you right there. And see, the Hebrew people would have known that.
Mm-hmm.
They would have known the meaning to these names. We read this, to us, they're just names, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's because it was hidden, you know. But they took it as just being names. And they didn't realize a lot of times, if they'd looked at their own scriptures, that when it talks about that his kingdom will never come to an end, he'll sit upon his throne, and really his love has sat there. It's always been there. He's never removed his love for mankind. He's always loved us. And he in this scripture here, we were talking about him bringing forth his servant, the branch, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "I'm the vine and you're the branches." Mm-hmm. So we're going to build the temple of God, you know. And he's going to build it out of lively stones. We're built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. And this thing is all about his relationship to us, and that love relationship inside of us sitting on the throne and causing us to rule and to reign with him, you know. And in that sense, David's always reigning, not just Jesus, but David's reigning in our hearts. The love of God is reigning in our hearts, you know. But anyway, I love that scripture. I looked that up last week. That's just a tremendous word there. The crown bound firmly, the goodness of God. God has known that grace, his graciousness, his kindness, and his favor, that's the root word of that, that God has secreted it, caused it to be secret, you know. And it was secret to them, but it's not to us. Thank God for that. Praise the Lord.
Well, we're going to go, let's go to Psalms 89:40. I'm trying to get through this because some of this just rambles. You know, it goes on and on, but I like this because it says, he's blaming God that he broke down all his hedges. You know, and we know that in Job, he may lift the hedge, but trust me, he has not broken down all his hedges. But I love the word hedge. It's what you think it is in the original is wall, hedge. It's an enclosure, especially for flocks. Isn't that neat? It's like we are, you know, the sheep know his voice. you know, and he keeps us enclosed in his grace and his mercy and his love. But I love the root. The root is repair her. Repair her. And of course, we all know there's only one place this word appears, and it's Isaiah 58:12, and you all know the scripture. It says, and they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places, thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations.
Wow.
And thou shalt be called the repairer. That word repairer, that's the only time in the Bible that's in there. Of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. Wow.
That's a powerful scripture there, right?
Wow. I mean, I love that scripture. The repair of the breach, the restore of paths. And what are we doing? How are we doing that? How does that come out in day-to-day life? You know,
just like Lisa said.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like Lisa said.
Yeah.
We reach out. We draw them in with love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, whatever Jesus did those 3.5 years here on earth, he was repairing the breach. He was restoring the paths for us to dwell in and for those people at that time. And then the word breach is the word gap or bursting forth. The root of that word breach is breakthrough. To grow, to increase. And that word is in Psalms 89:40. Thou hast broken down all his hedges. That word down is that word breach. I mean, think about that. Now, we just got done talking about Isaiah, and now we're talking about Psalms 89. And I mean yeah. We're sitting there saying, okay, the word hedge, the root is repair. Then we go to Isaiah 58:12, the only place in the Bible that word appears, and it's, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. Okay, what's that word breach be? To burst forth, to break through, to grow. And then we go back to Psalms 89:40, and that word down, broken down. So what he has not broken down the hedges. In fact, he is a restorer of paths to dwell in, and he is a repairer of the breakthrough.
There you go. That's good.
He's a of the breakthrough that God has provided for us. We can break through anytime we choose to break through. He's there to help us and assist us and guide us, and he's there to restore that path if we've gotten off track a little bit.
Wow.
He's there to restore that path so that we can break through into a whole other level of relationship and intimacy.
Yes.
With our Lord.
This is just that Adam mental thing where he is accusing God of breaking down the hedges.
Yeah.
Why are you bringing this, all of these trials to me? And it's truly just the Lord doing what is good for us.
Yeah.
It just goes
He's
right back to welcome your trials as friends. Invite them in.
He's having a pity party when God says,
hallelujah,
this is good for you.
Yes.
This is all going to come work
your
to your good, you know, because I know down deep you love me, but you're just frustrated right now. You know, you're just we just feel that the hedge has been lifted and the attacks have come. And guess what? If I did lift the hedge, it's just for a very short period of time. And then that hedge, that enclosure of my love and my mercy and grace will come back.
I did some repair work,
back
too.
On the path.
The Lord will say, I had to lift it for a minute, but I had some repair work to do there.
What you said about the breaking forth, you know, I was thinking about years ago, we had a brother come through here, and he told us about these Bibles that was called the original restoration of the original sacred name of God, you know. And what it was is they had taken a translation of the Bible, this Bible Society, and they had put the original Hebrew names of God back everywhere where they belong, rather than Lord or God or whatever. And you know, if you went in Strong's Concordance, you could find them for yourself. But in the beginning of that book, and I don't know if you got one or not, but if you do, I'll make a copy of it sometime. The front part of it. It has the definitions of the names of God out of the Newberry Bible. And I've never been able to find the Newberry Bible. But one of them was, and I think it was for God Almighty, it was the force and the power that breaks through all opposition. And I love that. I mean, because that goes on what you're saying. And you know, every time that somebody had an encounter with God Almighty, they went away with their name changed.
Yes.
It broke through all opposition. It was the force that broke through and changed, you know. And I love that you brought that out, because that's, you know, that goes right along with that. And I mean, when we realize that this thing is not really hidden in God. I mean, it seems to be hidden, but it's really not. When he opens it up, man, oh, it's so plain. It's clear as daylight for us what he's doing. I love that.
Yeah, that, you know, he'll bring that anointing.
Yeah.
And when he brings that anointing, he'll break through all those yokes and all those things that are easily besetting us, and keeping us from that true stream that only he can bring. Okay. All that passed by the way spoiled him. He is a reproach to his neighbors. Thou hast set up the high right hand of his adversaries. Thou hast made all his enemies rejoice. I'm gonna just leave it at that. Anybody have anyone? I'm gonna stop right there. Anybody have anything else? We talked a lot about a lot of different things, and how you know, how Psalms 89 kind of brings it all together. And anybody have anything they want to add?
No, the only verse that keeps jumping out of me though, Rich, is in 2 Peter, where Peter says, we actually heard this voice born out of heaven, for we were together with him on the holy mountain. And we have the prophetic word made even firmer still. You do well to pay close attention to it as a lamp shining in a dismal, dark place until the day breaks through the gloom and the morning star rises and comes into being in your heart.
What was
2
Peter, what?
2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19.
I will stop.
That was amplified.
Yeah.
Hebrews. I would say read a lot in Hebrews 7, 8, and 9 if you want to get more information. Hebrews 7, 22 says, just to end the New Covenant talk discussion, it says in 22, by so much more Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. Also, there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing, but he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. You know, his priesthood is unchangeable. We've seen changes in the priesthood. But it goes on to say that, therefore, he is also able to save the uttermost, those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. We were talking earlier about how Jeremiah paved the way, as well as Ezekiel and Isaiah, for that new covenant hundreds of years before Jesus even walked the earth, and that the one thing that Jeremiah prophesied was, when that happens, he will not remember our sins ever again. And it's like, you know, the natural mind can't wrap around that. It's not possible, because you're saying, well, what about this person? What about that, you know? And when you do that, you're thinking with your natural mind. When you think with the mind of Christ, it's like, they're all my creation. Every one of them, you know, I will leave the 99 for that one. And I picture Jesus coming back with that lamb around his neck there, and to bring it back into the fold that we were talking about earlier, that enclosure, that repair. So, anyway.
When Peter was questioning Jesus, he said, what is that to be? Jesus said, and he was saying, well, what about?
Yeah.
What's it to you?
And if you want to read, we're not going to go there, we're going to turn here, but Hebrews 9, 14 to 15, and Hebrews 8, verse 10. So if you want to get just a little more on that. So
9 was
14
to what?
9 was 14 and 15.
All right. 8, 14.
Was verse 10.
All right, I got that. Really, you can read all of
it. Yeah, you can read all of Hebrews. Chapter. I mean,
just read the whole Bible.
Yeah. And then report back to us next week.
Yeah.
All right.
Praise the Lord.
Do we want to?
Thank you, Father.
Father, this week you spoke to my heart and you said, I have given you my light that you might see.
Yes,
I have given you my life that you might be.
Yes.
And I have given you my love to manifest me.
Good.
Father, we thank you for your words. They are truly spirit, and they are life, and they are light, Father. And we thank you, Lord, that we do have that prophetic word made even firmer still that's inside of us in that dark, dismal place. And it becomes a dark, dismal place, Father, with trying to get that mind renewed. But, Father, we know that the day star is breaking forth through the darkness, and the fullness and the answers and the breakthroughs are already on the way. For your glory, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.